Thank you, Pastor Mario, for sharing with us, for doing my introduction. We didn't really plan this together, but I want to really continue with something the Lord laid on my heart, and it dovetails very nicely in the unity in pursuing the same goal, and that is the kingdom of God. And that we're all called to pursue together the same goal. That we're all called into one faith, one Christ, but with one goal ahead of us. And that's really to see the kingdom come, isn't that? Isn't that the great commission that we all received? We all received the same commission. It's not just one person or another person, but we've all been given this awesome goal and pursuit and meaning in life to know and to understand God, who He is, but also to pursue His heart. And His heart is not just for us, it's actually for everyone. And that's the amazing thing about God. And as we grow up in our relationship with Christ, we realize that God's love is not just for me. But God's love is for every person. God has a heart for every single person. And He wants to see, His desire is to see all men saved. And He calls us all to be part, not just of His family, but what I call the family business of God. And that is to see the lost saved. So I want to share around that. Running the race that God has set before us, because God has set before us this awesome goal, this awesome destination, which is more than a destination, it's a goal. It's not just going to heaven, but it's actually seeing the kingdom grow while we're here on earth. Not just in my life, but in the community, in the family, in the people around me, to see the love of God that I have received pass on to those around me. And that's really the goal that God has set for us, not just as individuals, but also for us as a church. I mean, we are here together not just for what we can get out of church individually, but we're actually here to worship together, to serve together, to love together, to actually be part of something bigger than ourselves. And that something bigger is called the kingdom of God. And I want us just to turn to a very well-known portion of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us." And I want to share about this race that was set before us. As a church, but also as individuals. As individuals, but also as a church. And I think this has application to you and I as individuals, but today also for us as a church. This has been 1 year. It's been 1 year since two churches came together to become one. And we did this not because it was natural for me or natural for Mario, not because it was necessarily easy for us to do so, but we did this solely because we believe that God has set something before us, something greater than our own individual churches, something greater than our own natural abilities and desires, but something far greater, and that is the kingdom of God. That is to see the kingdom advance in this town. And so we made this decision based on something that we believe God set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. As two churches, we came together because we believe something was set before us, something greater than ourselves. And this was not always easy for Pastor Mario to hand over the baton. That he started from scratch, he says 25, it was maybe longer, almost 30 years ago. He started something that God given him from scratch. Nobody handed him nothing. God gave him something, and he and Celeste was faithful. And I just want to honor them for that, for their faithfulness over these years. We hear of so many men and women in ministry that do not finish what they have started. But I want to honor them for what they've done for almost 30 years in faithfully running with what God had given them. And it was not always easy for Pastor Mario to hand over that baton. It was not always easy for me to receive that baton, knowing that this baton was run with in a particular style for a long time. And as it's been handing over to me, I'm going to run with it in a different style. The same direction maybe, but in a different way. And with that will come change and challenges to work through the new way of running in the same direction. It was not always easy, but we did it because we believe God set something before us. And I know as a congregation, as a family, these two families coming together, I know that must not have been easy always either. To go through all these changes and transitions, I mean, from the Bosco family to become a Shofar family and part of the Shofar family. There were so many changes and transitions, and I know it must not have been easy for everyone. But I just want to honor you guys for your faithfulness and your commitment and your determination to run this race and your faith in the leadership in steering this boat to where God is wanting us to go. So I want to also honor you for that. There was something that was set before us. And it's not just a new season. It's not just a new season that is set before us. What is set before us is the kingdom of God. What's set before us is to see that the kingdom advance in this town. What was set before us is to push the line, remember? That vision to push the line again. To get out of our trenches and to push the line, not just for us as a church, as a family, but for all the churches. And that is what God has placed before us. And it is so powerful to see that as we started this new season, this new drive to start to push the line again, not just for ourselves, but for the kingdom, we can also see God's faithfulness in that. And how we started to see and taste what this kingdom that was set before us is going to look like. As we saw over the past years, the lives that has been changed, the people that have been added, the salvations, the baptism, the discipleship, the healings, the transformation that took place in people's lives. It was it's almost a sneak view, a sneak peek into that what God has set before us, because the excitement there is to see how God moves in us. And I have to give God the glory for the past year and for the success of what we all are part of. Because God is the one that adds to us. One can sow and the other one can water, but God gives the increase. Amen? Amen. And we have to give God the honor. And I want to honor God today for what He has done in this church. For what He has added. For the lives that He has changed. For the revelation and the life and the relationship that He has brought in church. It wasn't me. It wasn't any of us. It was God that came to bring life. And I want to honor God for that. And I know that is just a little taste of what is still to come. Because even though we've grown as a church, you know what? There are still many people out there that still needs to come to God. That still needs to be added to the kingdom. And the kingdom is not just us. The kingdom is all the churches together in this town. And that's part of what God has said before us, is to be an example, is to be an inspiration, is to be new life into an old pattern, to inspire others also, just to again stand up and push the line, to see the kingdom advanced. Something that was set before us. Here in Hebrews 12, I just want to read this again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. The race that was set before us. I mean, it's interesting. The writer of Hebrews, traditionally believed to be Paul, God is speaking through Paul and he says, listen, this is a race that was set before you in the presence of a great cloud of witnesses. And yes, in the natural, in this town, there is lots of people looking at us. I remember even before we came together, there was a lot of people being very negative. And many people warned me and said, this is never going to work. As a matter of fact, I remember I was at the funeral 3 months after we started. And at the funeral, afterwards, I spoke to the minister because he gave a very moving sermon. And I just wanted to, affirm him for that. His first words asked me, so is it still going? Kind of expecting that it would have failed by now. There is a great cloud of witnesses watching us. In the natural, there's lots of people looking in anticipation to see what's going to happen. And that gives great opportunity for inspiration to get people to focus again on what God is doing. And maybe inspire them to actually also start running again. Amen. Although Paul was not speaking here about a natural witness, if you read the previous chapter, chapter 11, he's speaking about a far greater witness. He was speaking about the heroes of faith that has gone before us, that has sacrificed so much to have what we have today. But that's another sermon for another time. We've started to see what that means. It also speaks about distractions, the weight and the sin, distractions and sin that can so easily ensnare us. On this race that God has set before us, there will be distractions and there will be sin. There will be temptations. There will be things that can cause us to go off course. And Paul warns us about that. And again, that's for another time. I want to focus on God's affirmation for us through this word. And I want to focus specifically on the affirmation that God has given us for this race that He has set before us. And he speaks here and he says, let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Something that was set before us, we can all agree on, but God, through the writer of Hebrews, encourages us to run it like a race with endurance. Not just approach what was set before us, but to approach it in a particular manner. And I want to talk about this particular manner because God likens it to a race that needs to be run with endurance. Who of you have ever competed in a race? Okay, there's some people of you that competed in a race. That's very interesting. What is the aim of a race? To win, isn't it? Isn't that the aim of a race? I mean, what's the difference between a jog and a race? What's the difference between running with friends early in the morning on a Saturday morning and competing in a race? There's a big difference, isn't it? I wanna ask three volunteers. We've got South Africans, so this works very well in South Africa. London, it doesn't always work, but here it does because I know the South African mindset. Can I have three young men? Yeah, we've got one young man. We've got another. There's another young man. Can I have another young man? One more. Boss Divan. Siyiso. I say. Yvonne? I don't know. Where's Yvonne? Visitor? First time visitor? Where are you? Don't be shy. Are you here? There she is. This is Divan. He's still single. No, he's not. He's not. I'm sorry. He's not. Sorry. Forget that. He's not. Okay, great. Guys, I want you to stand there. No, that side. Let's do that. Okay. Here's a bag for you. You know the sak resies, nah? You know how that works. Okay. Right, there's a bag for you. Okay. And there's a... you'll have to make do with it. Everybody gets the same bag, brother. This is a race. No exceptions. Okay, actually, no, it's not a race. Relax. It's not a race. Just otherwise you might kill each other. Okay. Are you all in? Okay. Now what I want you to do, relax. This is not a race. Okay? This is just a fun run. All that I want you to do is I just want you to move towards that side. Okay? In your own time. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's not a race. You must just from this place get there. Okay? You can, whenever you're ready, you can go. Just figure it out how it works. You just... Wonderful. Hey, give him a hand. Wonderful. Can you go back this side? Yeah, easy, easy. Right, right. I can see here comes trouble. Okay, right. Now, guys, this is a race. Now it is a race. Okay? The first guy here wins. Okay, are you ready? Okay. On your marks. I'll watch who's there first. There'll be a photo finish. On your marks. Get set. Go! Well done, you're the winner. Now, did you notice a difference? Did you notice the difference between the casual, let's just get from here to the... Guys, thank you. You can go back. You can take your bags. Did you notice the difference between having a casual move towards the end and the race? What was the difference? Yes, everything was different. We saw that. But what made it different? They gave it their all, determination, focus, enthusiasm, commitment, clear purpose. There is a determination and a focus in a race that is not present in the leisurely recreational jog on Sunday morning. We have great times running together in the mornings, but unless you cycle with Warren, then it is always a race. But normally, your early morning rides on a Saturday as a training ride is recreational, it's fun. There is a different focus, however, a different determination when you take the same three friends and you put them in a race. And God speaks about the thing that He set before us, and He says, listen, yeah, I want you to run in this that is set before you. Run towards it. Not recreationally, but as if in a race, with determination and focus and endurance, so that you can find it. Right on. So we need to run this with determination and focus. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul continues and he says the following. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. But do you see the focus here? Paul is saying this thing that God has set before us is not a recreational jog. This is a race. This is a race that needs to be run with determination and focus towards the end. And that is what God has set before us. Whatever God has set before you, we need to run with it with determination and focus. Paul is not trying to say that it's only one guy that gets to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying, the way we run this race that God has set before us, we should run it with focus and determination. Like an athlete that runs for a perishable crown, we that was set before us is eternal. They, setting themselves, disciplining themselves, focusing, being temperate in all things, withholding certain things like too much cake, you know, if you're an athlete, you know. Too much cake and too much sugar and too much this. You withhold from certain things because you're disciplining yourself because you have what? One goal in mind. A determination, a focus that is willing to sacrifice to get to the goal. Paul says this is the same way in our lives when we run towards what God has set before us with focus. Paul is saying, listen, yeah, it's not about who gets there first. It's about focus, determination.
He says, run like you really mean it. That what God has set before you, run like you really mean it. You know, I'm a competitive cyclist. Not just because I'm competitive in nature, but because I compete in races. I've done the Cape Epic, I've done the Transalps, I've done the Sani to Sea, the Wine to Wales, the Renosterveld. You know, it's stage races, mountain bike stage races, if you don't know what it is. You don't just kill yourself for one day, you do it for 7-8 days. You know, there's a bunch of us that really love to suffer. And you know what? It's fascinating. You know, I once did the Iron Bike Italy. Now, if you really want, if the Cape Epic is boring, you do that thing. If you really want to suffer, and there's another 8 days in the Alps and in the Italian Alps, actually beautiful, in the rural side of the Italian Alps. You go through all these small towns that nobody knows about, and people don't know what bicycles are. So you're really celebrities when you do arrive, because you're not Italian, you don't speak Italian. So it's very weird for them. But anyway. And you go through this amazing places, and so many people ask me about the scenery, and then they ask me, did you take photos? And I'm thinking, photos? Who goes on a race with a camera? It's extra weight. You get rid of it. I mean, they say you have to take a cell phone with you. You know, because it's in the middle of nowhere and something happens, you know, it's like nobody even knows about it. So you know what I do? I don't take my phone. Why? Because it's too heavy. I go and research the lightest phone I can possibly buy, which fortunately for me turns out to be the cheapest also. And I go buy the lightest possible phone to take with me because I don't want to take any extra weight. I go and research what are the minimum requirements for the first aid kit that I have to carry. And I chuck out all the other stuff, the scissors and the, you know, the tweezers and all the stuff. I just chuck it out because it's dead weight. I'm not going to use this. Because I'm focused. I'm determined. I want to finish this race strong. And so many people, you know what? They don't understand what Paul is talking about when he says, listen here, this is a race. And then people ask me, how was the scenery? And I say, you know what? Between thinking, breathing, breathing, trap, trap, breathing, breathing, pain, don't ignore the pain, ignore the pain. You're tired, brain, shut up. You can do more. Go, go. Oh, yeah, there's a nice view. Focus, there's a hole in front of you. There's no. Oh, there's something. No. Photos? No, I don't do photos in a race. Because I'm focused. I'm determined. And that's what God calls us in this race that He has set before us. So he's saying, run like you really mean it. Run like you really want it. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted, but remain focused. Therefore, Hebrews 12 verse 1, since we all are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's so interesting. He says, let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. It's interesting that God uses the word endurance. I mean, he could have said, let's just run the race. But then he adds to this, let us run it with endurance. And I relate to that because I'm an endurance athlete. I relate to that because it speaks to me about something. You know what? When it's a sprint, a 100-meter dash, you need strength and you need power, but you don't even need to breathe. Do you know that? The sprinters in that 100 meters, they don't breathe. You realize that? They take one big breath and they just go. They hardly breathe because the only focus is the end. You don't need endurance in 100 meters. But when you cycle for 8 days, believe me, you need endurance. Then it's more than just power and speed. Then it's something else. Then it is endurance. And God is saying, listen, this race that we need to run with determination and focus, we need to run it with endurance. With endurance. Let me ask you this question. When do you win a race? At the end. You only win the race at the end. Who, if you've ever heard of anybody that didn't finish the race and won the race? Anyone? Anybody did that before? It doesn't work that way. The only way you win the race is when you end it. And to end the race, like we all know, this life is not one day long. Praise God. And God sets before us something and He says that, listen, you need to run it with endurance. Because yes, along the way, you might find some distraction. You might find some temptation. You might find some fatigue and trouble and hardship. But I want you to remain focused, determined to the very end. Because it's not how you start the race that determines the result. It's how you end it. I've been in so many races with guys that were much stronger and faster than me that got a flat tire or broke a wheel or came off the single track because maybe they were looking at the nice view and went off the cliff because they were looking somewhere else. But even though they were strong and faster because they went off the rails, they couldn't finish. And that's so important that we must understand that the race that God has set before us is not a sprint. It's an endurance race. It means there will be distractions. There might be temptations. There will be fatigue. But God calls us to endure through the challenges, through the hardships, and to overcome everything that life or the devil might throw at us. Keep our eyes on the goal and keep on running. Keep on running. Now, that's not hard to understand if you enter a race that costs you a lot. Now, I remember, currently, what does the Cape Epic cost now for a team? Who knows? 50,000? 50,000. If you want to race in the Cape Epic today or next year, it's going to cost you 50,000 rand per team. Okay, that is 25,000 rand per person. I remember when I did it back in the early, 2007, it cost 12,000 rand per team, 6,000 per person. I was in London, I earned pounds, and that was very cheap, thanks to the exchange rate. But today, it's very expensive. Nobody enters the Cape Epic with the goal not to finish. Nobody pays that amount of money to enter a race not planning to finish. Nobody trains for an entire year between 10 and 20 hours a day, sacrificing food and cake and sugar and family time and all kinds of other time to train for an entire year to enter a race that cost them 25,000 rand not to finish it. Do you think anybody enters that race thinking, if I do one day, it'll be fine? No. We're all suckers. We're going to endure no matter what happens. You know what? If it rains for 7 days, you know what happens? Do you think they stop the race? I hate riding in the rain. I really do. But if it's a race, I don't care about the rain. Because my aim is to finish it. And yes, people enter races not necessarily to win it, but we all enter it to finish it. And that's the reality that God calls us to. He's not saying the first one to get there is going to go to heaven and the rest doesn't make it. No, it's about everybody that finishes will go there. But we are called to finish it. We're called to focus. We're called to be determined, to have endurance, to not to be distracted or to be overcome by fatigue, but to continue despite it. And that's the thing about an endurance race. We love pain. We love it. Why do we love pain? Because we can overcome it. There's nothing greater to overcome 8 days of pure physical hell and finish it. There's just something that is just so rewarding to say, you know what? I have done it. I've done the race. I finished it. I completed it. Others fell along the way, but I made it. That. There is something there that encourages us to overcome all the hardship, all the distraction, all the pain, all the, it's raining. You know, sometimes it's raining and it's cold. I remember in the Alps, it's snowing. It's snowing. It's freezing. Your hands are freezing. Your toes are freezing. You're losing your feeling in your toes and your hands as you go over the peaks of the Alps in the snow. And it's just so cold and it's just miserable. And you're thinking, what am I doing here? And then you remember, oh yes, it's to finish it. Because there's something there at the end that is far greater than what I'm going through right now. There's a reason I entered this race. And that is what we're focusing on. The joy that was set before us. Yeah, I've got a picture of me and Warren. This is when we finished the Wine to Wales. 3 days. You see the smile on Warren's face? Does he look happy? Looks tired, doesn't he? You know what? Warren was sick that last day. First day, we did tremendously well. I think we started in Group E. We rode all the way into Group B. And then the next day, we did very well in Group B. And then the last day, our chance was to get into the top teams. And Warren was sick. He was sick. He was weak. His body didn't want to function. He didn't have no energy. He had no strength. And we just fell out of the pack completely. He had his worst cycling day ever. Probably one of his worst. Not the one, the entire worst. But most probably, where is Warren? Is he here? Yeah, there he is. Yeah. One of his worst days ever. He was sick. He was nauseous. He was weak. He couldn't keep up. He was just... Did he give up? No. No. No, we lost a bunch. We lost the lead guys. We lost them. Did we give up? No. There's something in him that said, I'm not going to give up. Everything within his mind is saying, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. Why are you doing this? But then he's thinking, well, I'm here with Andries. And hey, there's a finish line. And it's only one day left. And he persevered to do something. And that one thing was to finish it, because there is a great joy at the end. When we turn around and we say, you know what? We've done this. We've finished it. It's complete. There is a great joy in finishing it. You know, it's so fascinating, that joy that is set before us as a church. You know what? God has set before us the kingdom of God. God has set before us the salvation of souls. And I want to just add this into this. You know what? The kingdom of God is about saving souls. It's about lives being transformed. It's about people that grow closer to God. That's what it's about. And you measure the advancement of the kingdom of God by how many souls are added to it. That's it. That's how you measure the advancement of the kingdom of God. How many people get saved? How many people's lives get transformed? How many people are growing in excitement with God? That is how you measure the kingdom of God. And God is putting before us, he says, listen here, church, I put before you, I set before you the kingdom. I set before you salvation, healing, deliverance, transformation, discipleship, relationship, love. I set before you these things. In this town, I set before you. Now run. Because at the end, there is great joy in seeing the salvation of others. To seeing the deliverance of others. To seeing the healing of others. To seeing relationship in others. To seeing transformed lives. All those things are our great reward for eternity. It doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges and distractions and hardships along the way, but that is what God has set before us. I want to place it before you. God has set before us not a comfortable space. He's not set before us a nice club. He's not set before us great fellowship. All these things are added benefits, but what is set before us is the salvation of souls. What is set before us is advancing the kingdom. What is set before us is seeing this town transformed for Jesus, to see lives change, communities change. That is what God has set before us. That is our goal. It's not our own comfort. No, we don't do races for comfort. We do it for the end, for the joy that was set before us. But you have to have endurance. This race, there might be hardships, distractions, and fatigue from time to time, but we need to have endurance for the joy that was set before us. Let us continue here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We read, verse 2 says the following, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Isn't that amazing? In our race that we need to run with endurance, we need to look to Jesus as our example. And we need to follow him as we run this race. And even he, with the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and he continued to the very end. He didn't give up when he was in the garden. He didn't give up. Because for the joy that was set before him, you know what? There's something awesome in seeing people's lives change. There is something awesome seeing the kingdom grow. There's something awesome. There is a joy, a satisfaction that cannot be explained when you see lives changed for the good. When you see people growing closer to Jesus. When you see those miracles of salvation and transformation in lives. There's nothing greater than that. And God even speaks about that in the parable. Remember the parable of the talents and the miners, where some gives five and some got two and some got one. But remember the guys who got to the end. God said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of God. Enter into his joy. There's no greater joy in God's heart to see the lost saved. There is no greater joy in God's heart to see salvation of others. You know what? The joy that is set before us is not just our own salvation. The joy that is set before us is the salvation of others. That is the joy that God has set before us. It is when we come into eternity with him in the great celebration, but not just for our own lives, for the lives of others. That is why we celebrate. That is why we come to church. If you think about it, that's why you didn't stay home and watch TV. Because you can today. You can sit back, watch God TV or TBN all on your own. But there is something special when we come together. There's something different when we come together. There's something different at the end, not just when we reach it, but when we have accomplished what is set before us. So I want to encourage you that you need to run whatever God has set before you. And there might be different things to different individuals that God has set before you in your life. God has maybe set before you something that is different that God has set before me. But together, God has set one thing for us, and that is the kingdom. Together, we have one thing. Individually, we have different things, but it doesn't matter what God has set before you. And I might ask you this question: what are the things that God has set before you? Whatever things that are, they are, you must run with it with a focus, a determination, with endurance. Do not give up on what God has set before you. And I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this thing as an individual: what God has set before you, don't give up. And what God has set before you in your salvation, which he has already paid for, don't give up. Run with it. And as a church, that's what God has set before us, to see this town changed through the kingdom, through the gospel. Through the gospel. To see life change. We must not do this as a recreational jog, but with focus and determination. This is what this church is about. We want to see the town changed. Not politically. Spiritually, we want to see people saved. I don't care if you're in the ANC or in the DP or in the DA. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to know you follow Jesus. That's what I'm after. And that's what we should be after. It doesn't matter which church you belong to. It doesn't matter whether you're the Dutch Reform or Live the Life or RGS. Or, that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you know Jesus. And that you are saved. And that you're following him. And that's what we're after. We're not after growing this church as much as we're after growing the kingdom. It's not about this. It's about the kingdom. And that's where we're after. So what is the race that God has set before you? Whatever that is, run at it like you really mean it. Run at it like you really want it. And yes, there will be distractions. And yes, there might be sin that will ensnare you, that might lead you off course. But focus with determination on what God has placed before you. Don't give up. If you get tired, look to Jesus. Not only as an example, but also the one who is the source of our faith. If you run with this race that God has set before you, and I'm speaking about your salvation, your eternity before you, that God has set before you, that we are called to run with endurance with, when you get tired, and you will get tired, there will be distractions. Yes, temptation. Yes, there will may be hardships that you are facing in life, but when you are facing those things, do not give up. That's what God is saying. And when you get tired, when you get distracted, when the temptation comes, put your eyes on Jesus, not just as the example, but also as the source of your faith. He is the one that can renew your strength. He is the one that can give you new strength. And I love that about endurance. When you get that second push, that second mile, that second breath, when you push through the pain, when you push through that, and all of a sudden, there is something more. Well, we've got something far greater than something more. We've got the source that started it all. It's the same thing that can sustain us through it all, and that is Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you're running a race, if you're running towards something that God has set before you, and you are getting tired, I want to encourage you, look to Jesus. Look to His example, but look to Him as the source that can give you life. And whatever you do, don't give up. Do not give up. If God has called you to do something, don't give up. If God has called you, if God has set something before you, don't give up. I don't know who you are, but for you this morning, whatever God has set before you, do not give up. Run with endurance. Run with endurance. I'm going to end off with 2 Timothy. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. My time of departure is at hand." And then he says these powerful things. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearings. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Do not give up. Do not give up. Jesus did not give up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not give up. This church, we will not give up either. And I want to encourage you, and I want to declare over you that you will not give up either. That what was said before Christ, He endured to the end. That what is said before us as a church, we will endure to the end. And that what is said before you, you must endure to the end. We are here to support you. Yes, we are the water stops along the way in this race that you can pop in every now and then for some refreshments. But He is the source that will carry you through. Don't look to us. We're going to be there to support you, to encourage you. But please, ultimately, look to Him, because He is the source. And in His strength, you will finish this race. Not in your own, but in His strength, you will finish this race. So I want to encourage you, do not give up. Jesus didn't, we are not going to, and neither should you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for that what You have set before us. God, we want to thank You that You set before us life, not death, but life. You've given us your Son so that we can have life. And God, you set before us eternity with you in great joy in your presence, where there is no sickness, where there is no pain, where there is no shortcoming, where there's fullness of joy, abundance in your presence. God, thank you that you set before us an awesome future of knowing, being, and living with you for eternity, where there is no tear, no sickness, no pain. Father, we want to thank you for what you have set before us. Not harm, but good. Life, blessing, not curse. Lord, thank you that you've set before us an awesome eternity. And Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you are calling us. You are calling us. Lord, you speak about the great cloud of witnesses of Moses, of Abram, of Gideon, Samson, of David and the prophets, all standing and watching us and cheering us on, having only saw afar off the realities that we have today. They are cheering us on and they're saying, come on, you can do this, you can finish it. Don't worry about the fatigue. Don't worry about the hardships, about the distraction of this world, about the temptation. Keep going. Keep going. You can finish this. There is great joy in the other side. Don't give up. And Lord, I'm here today, Lord, just to encourage some here today. In their run with you, in their faith, if you are here and you have run weary, you've become fatigued, maybe you've become distracted. Maybe you've been tempted. Maybe you've gone astray. I don't know. But God is saying to you today, don't give up. There's a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on and says, don't give up. Keep your eyes on me and follow me to the end, because I will make sure that you finish. Just keep on going. And if that is you today, I want to encourage you. I just want you to stretch out your hand. If you are fatigued, if you are struggling in your faith, thank you for those hands. You can just drop it again. It's just between you and God. I'm not going to call you forward. Just respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I'm weary, Lord. I'm distracted, Lord. I'm even going the wrong way. But I want to come back to running this race with everything. Lord, I want to thank you for those hands, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, for those hearts, Lord. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that as they turn to you, Lord, that they may find their strength in you. Lord, I pray that you will renew their strength like the eagles. Lord, that you will lift them up like the deer that runs on the mountain. Lord, I pray for a new focus, Lord, and for some of us here, Lord, just for a determination. There are some of us here that has been running this race recreationally. And God is encouraging you today, run like you really mean it. This is a race. This is not a jog. Go for it. I'm with you. Go for it. And God, I want to pray for those hearts, because I know there are some people here, Lord, that needs to run this race with a new focus and a new determination. If that is you, just respond to God. You can just respond to God. Thank you for those hands. Just respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I am committing myself again, afresh, anew, today, to run this race with all my strength and all my focus. And then there's some here today that God has given you specific things to do. God has given you something. God has set before you a goal, an intermediate goal towards the end. And God is saying to you, don't give up. Do not give up. Keep on going. Keep on going. There is great joy at the end. Do not give up. Persevere through the hardship. Push through the pain. I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to make sure that you make it. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. If that is you, just respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I know you're speaking to me. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I'm going to continue running. Father, I want to thank you for all these lives, Lord, that you are speaking to. God, I pray that you will give them life as you have promised in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for the race that you have set before us as a church to see your kingdom come. Lord, we are not going to give up. We're going to endure through the hardship, the distractions, and the temptations. And we're going to finish this race together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for being part of what God has called us to do. I'm excited to see what is still going to happen in this town. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in this church. But I'm even more excited to see what's going to happen in all the churches. Because God has the kingdom at heart. Not us alone. Not shofar. Not shofar at Bosco. It's not about us. It's about Him. And I want you to go into this world, into this town, with an expectation to see that God is going to finish what He has started in and through us. Amen? Amen.